Amen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, it's been a difficult time recently, as Pastor Ben was sharing with you, and we've been through a lot of things together, but it's his amazing grace that makes the difference in our life. Well, good morning. It is good to be with you. The Bible tells us, rejoice in all things. Give thanks in all things. That sounds like it's difficult to do, because it is. Without the power of his Holy Spirit, and that's what we're going to hear about today, the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm Pastor Randy Mayfield. I'm the missions pastor here at Central. I've been here for about 150 years, and it's fantastic to be here with you again this morning. Sharon and I have been in California. That's our home for both of us. We both grew up in California. And I figured, you know, most of our meetings have been Zoom meetings online, and I said, you know, I'd rather look at the Pacific Ocean than the Walgreens in my backyard in Baldwin. So we decided to hang out there, and we're going to go back next week. But it is great to be with you. This morning, we're going to look again, continue our study of the book of Acts and how God is transforming us, how he's building his church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be looking at the final verses of Acts 2. This was written by the Apostle Luke, as you know. And so far in this transformation series in Acts 1, we've talked about the ascension of Jesus. We've talked about Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so our scripture today follows right after that, and it's the transforming message that Peter gave that changed the lives and the hearts of people, the gospel message. And you might remember, previous to this, when the Holy Spirit fell, there were tongues of fire, a mighty wind, and the apostles were speaking in different languages. It was amazing, and it was transforming. You notice we use that word a lot in the last few months, transforming, because we're talking about what does it mean for God to transform us, his church, and the world. So today we're excited to look at how Peter preached a transformation message that changed the lives of 3,000 people, and then more every day, the scripture tells us. This was the beginning, the infancy of the early church. So let's read the passage together before we pray this morning, and then we'll break it down a little bit after that. We're looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 38 to 47. And Pastor Clay touched on this last week, but it's important to expand on it. In verse, just prior to this, verse 37, the people were told after hearing Peter's message, they were cut to the heart. They were moved deeply, and they were ready to hear what they needed to do next. And they said, what shall we do? And we pick it up with verse 38. Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Isn't that a message we could hear today? Save yourselves from this crooked generation. And those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed together had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. May God bless to us the reading of his word. Will you pray with me now? Father God, we do pray that you'll make your word clear to us this morning. May we be drawn to repentance and devote ourselves to you, to your teaching, and to one another. And we pray that you would add to the number of those who are being saved every day as they follow you. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So our passage speaks of the early church and how the Lord built it up through the word and the fellowship and prayer. And we see different ways that the church strives to grow and prosper these days, from the mega churches with their big worship bands and their fog and their smoke to the small little churches in the cities. And don't get me wrong, those big churches with their fog and smoke, if they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they can have an impact. If they're just there for entertainment reasons, well, we can find that anywhere. But you can only find the power of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about today, the book of Acts, when you're in the Word of God Himself. And I do believe that we've heard many times before to keep the main thing, and that's the gospel. Keep the gospel the center focus of everything that we do, the message of the gospel. So as we read these words, I was reminded of a song. Some of you may remember, if you're more mature like me, Jim Croce. You remember Jim Croce? He had a song, and it went like this. Like the pine trees lining the winding road, I've got a name, I've got a name. You remember that song? And he goes on to say, and I'll carry it with me like my daddy did. Why is that song relative to this passage? Because you see, Jim Croce carried the name of his father. His father's name was Jim Croce. And he said he wanted to honor the name of his father. And he did. Well, do you know who you are today? Whose child are you? Whose father? Who is your father? Think about that. And do you carry the name of Christ? You've been baptized, as our scripture says, in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you believe and have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you bear his name. You're a Christian, which means follower. Follower of Christ, a Christian. So when the Jewish people heard this gospel preached, they were convicted of their sin. And Peter said, the power of the Holy Spirit told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I think too often we forget that we're carrying that name of Jesus. When we're out in the public, when we're with our friends, our family, maybe sometimes we forget who we are. And it's a problem today, and it was a problem in the early church. So Peter reminded them, you're being baptized, and you're being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. We need peace on earth. We need to end all racism. We need healing in our land. And that'll only come through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the power of the gospel, and in the name of Jesus. Our friend and missionary, Igor Yaremchuk from Ukraine, he told a story once when he was here, and I love this story because it mentions the name. There was a soldier in Napoleon Bonaparte's army, and he had been caught either stealing or lying. Something happened, but he had to go before Napoleon. And he loved Napoleon. But Napoleon was upset, and he said, son, why did you do what you did? And then he asked him, what is your name? And he said, my name is Napoleon. I'm named after you. And Napoleon didn't smile. He said, either change your ways or change your name. We bear the name of Jesus. We need to act like followers of Christ, like little Christians, like little Christ, and follow him. We can only do that, we know that, and the scripture tells us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not in our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. You remember prior in Acts 2, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they began to speak in other tongues. And that's how they preached to the people. This wasn't just a random language. These were the languages of the tribes of the people that were there. And they began to hear the gospel in their own language. And they were amazed, that scripture tells us. So what about tongues? Yeah, let's talk about speaking in tongues. That's always a good subject that people get a little excited about. But you know what? In this passage, it makes a lot of sense. There are three different types that the Apostle Paul speaks about. The gift of tongues when you're praying to God and you don't know what to say and he gives you utterance, the Bible tells us. That's another one. The gift of tongues when you have an authoritative message and there's an interpretation. We don't see that as much today, but in this particular situation, this third use of the gift of tongues is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ across the language barriers. These guys actually spoke the language. The gift of tongues was the gift of the language where these people came from, their tribes. And when they heard their own language, they were touched to the heart. So that's what we see happening here in this passage on the day of Pentecost. The apostles spoke in the language and the dialect of the people who were present. You know, I pray I had that gift that when I travel around the world, suddenly I could speak their language. But I guess God wants me to learn it, work a little harder. But wouldn't that be nice? I remember one time, again, Igor and I, we were in South Korea. There's a church there that has 1 million members. They don't all meet at the same time, I'll tell you that. But they meet throughout the week. And then on Sunday, we were there on Sunday morning, they had 10 services of about 10,000 people in each service with a different orchestra, different band, not the same choir director, Matt. They did have different guys. They got a little bit of a break. But what was so cool is Igor and I went up to the balcony And there were 25 different languages we could choose from to put on a headset. And I put on, of course, English, he put on Russian, and we could hear the sermon preached by a South Korean pastor in our language. And you know what? That was pretty cool. Can you imagine on that day of Pentecost when all those people heard the sermon, heard the message of the gospel in their own tongue, in their own language? Of course they were cut to the heart, as the Bible said. They were moved. They couldn't believe it. And I can imagine how these Jewish people thought when Peter came to preach and suddenly they could hear this message that they hadn't heard before of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I try to learn a little bit of language when I travel, a song or two. And I had a really special experience several years ago in Kenya, one of the first times we started going into the schools. And I knew Swahili, a little bit of Swahili, and I sang in Swahili, but I knew that the tribe we were ministering to in the Pokot area spoke Kalenjin, a very unusual, different language. So I learned to speak a little bit of Kalenjin, and I learned to sing a couple songs in Kalenjin. And we did this again last year, Matt, when we were in Kenya, you remember. And so suddenly, when you start singing their heart language, these people perk up. Some of them stand up. They cry. They can't believe that you're speaking the language of their heart. And that's what happened in the days of Pentecost, if you can imagine that. I know we remember all the flaming tongues of fire and the mighty wind, but can you imagine if somebody who never knew your language suddenly started speaking to you in your heart language and shared with you the gospel of Jesus Christ? And verse 39 goes on to say that Peter preached, "For the promises for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself." This promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit, this promise of salvation, was for all who God called to himself. And it also goes on saying those who are far off. That's us. That's the Gentiles. That's us. The message of the gospel, the message and the power of the Holy Spirit is for all of us. The only hope for lost sinners like me and like you is Jesus Christ and the power that he gives us and the promise that he gives us in his Holy Spirit. Verse 40 and 41 says, "With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourself from this crooked generation.'" We truly are a crooked generation, as I said earlier. We have fallen so short of what God wants for us. Some translations say a perverse generation, or an untoward. We don't use that word untoward very often, but it just means offensive, inappropriate. Doesn't that look like us today in so many ways? Offensive to the world, offensive to God. But he preached to them that save yourselves from this crooked, untoward generation. I don't think it's hard to understand that when we look at Facebook, when we look at Twitter, when we look at the news, when we look at the newspaper, we see how offensive, how perverse this generation is. Friends, we've lost our way. 1 John 5:19 tells us, "We know that we're children of God, but the whole world is under the control of the evil one." Have you ever felt that, especially in the past few weeks, that the world is under the control of the evil one? It doesn't have to be that way. We need to take the world back through the power of the Holy Spirit and bring redemption through Jesus Christ. And that's what this passage is telling us today. Ravi Zacharias, a great man who we all know, he preached at our mission conference here several years ago. He said, "The problem of man is that he no longer knows what to laugh at and no longer knows what to weep at. It's vitally important what you laugh at and what you weep at. What breaks your heart tells God who you are." Did you hear that? What breaks your heart tells God who you are. I hope there's broken hearts here today. I hope God has broken your heart by seeing the fallenness, the perverseness, the untowardness of man in the world today. And then Luke goes on to say, "And with many other words, Peter bore witness." I like that because I've heard sermons that had many other words. It seems like sometimes you'll preach the sermon, then you kind of repeat the message, and then you give a little story, and then you repeat the message again. It seems to drag on. Well, I don't think it was like that with Peter. I've seen preachers squeeze a 20-minute sermon into 45 minutes. But I think Peter, obviously by the impact of this, he was not one of those preachers, like Ravi Zacharias and many others who have a passion for the gospel. Because we know Peter preached at Pentecost these words to the power of the Holy Spirit, and verse 41 goes on to tell us, "Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." So obviously this message under the power of the Holy Spirit, the gospel message that came forward, touched the life of 3,000. And later on in the passage, it says, and more came to Christ day by day. Can you imagine 3,000 people responding to Jesus? Now, some of you, like myself, have been to a Billy Graham crusade, okay? That's probably the closest I can even imagine. When you see all these hundreds and thousands of people coming down, coming forward. I've never personally been a part of something like that, but I have been in Ukraine, and we were in Macedonia and Moldova recently, and we saw hundreds and hundreds come to Christ, and that's amazing. When you see hearts that have been touched by the gospel and they respond. And that's the whole purpose of this message that Peter gave on Pentecost. It wasn't so they could see what a great preacher he was, what an amazing impact he could have. It was he wanted to show the power of the Holy Spirit and how it changed hearts. And God moved in the hearts of 3,000 plus people that day. And then it goes on to say that they devoted themselves, after they came to Christ, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Now, it's important to remember the apostles' teaching was quite important for these people because they didn't have the New Testament then, obviously. But the apostles had walked with Jesus. They had heard his teachings. And so they were able to convey the message of the gospel clearly, first, you know, secondhand, but to these people. And so everything that Christ had said and done, they were eyewitnesses to. And today we're blessed. We have God's word. We have the Bible. That's our direction. That's our guidance. And it's for our faith and practice, we say. If you want to know where to go, I call it the roadmap. You want a roadmap for life, you go to God's word, the very book. Most of you probably recognize the name of Alex Trebek, right? Jeopardy. I love the show. Even when I was a little kid, I loved the show. Well, he's been the host for Jeopardy more than 36 years. Okay, so I guess I wasn't a kid when I first saw it. But anyway, I was a younger man. And at the end of every show, they have a Q&A with Alex. The audience gets to ask him questions. And guess what the most popular question is? They ask Alex, do you know the answers to all of those questions? And Alex said, yes, I have them right in front of me. And that makes sense, doesn't it? He's got them all written out right in front of him. And we look for the answers for our life, the answers for the world. And friends, it's right in front of us. The Bible, the Word of God, when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit and we read it and it touches our hearts, we get all the answers to our questions. And I know there's a song that says, when answers aren't enough, there's Jesus. And that's right. Jesus is what we stand on, but his word is what guides us and directs us. We have the answers. So we don't have to be afraid to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know the answers. We need to learn them. We need to take them to our heart so that we can share them when we have opportunity to do so. So they have the answers. And they also said they went on, they were devoted to having fellowship. Isn't that something you miss right now? I mean, I'm looking out over here and there's pictures, great pictures of people in the church, very cute, smiling, very unlike a Sunday morning. They're really, no, I'm just kidding. They're smiling very big and it's fantastic, but it's not the same. And some of you are saying, yeah, well, let's get together. You know what? We love you so much. We're going to wait to do the right thing. And our session will decide next week what we should do. Because, you know, when you come to church and then you can't touch each other, you can't hug each other, you can't, that would be tough too. We long for fellowship. And so the Bible says they devoted themselves to fellowship and they could share their faith, their hopes, their concerns, their needs. And man, in this time of quarantine and isolation, we feel that more than ever. It's fun just coming in here. We have, what, 7-8 people in the sanctuary, but just to see people, live people that we love and know, we long for fellowship, and so did they. When they heard this new gospel, the Holy Spirit empowered them in their lives. They wanted to be together, and they did that. They also broke bread together. A lot of times when you talk about breaking of the bread, we talk about communion, and I'm sure they did that. They broke bread together, but they also ate meals in each other's homes. I'm going to a friend's house today for lunch with two or three other people in the church. What a great time to break bread, to talk together, to share what God has been doing in your heart. We need that fellowship. We need the breaking of bread together. We're looking forward to doing that soon again. And they prayed. And they prayed a lot. Morning, noon, and night, they prayed together. Because the power of prayer, you know, somebody told me the faith is the key to heaven, but prayer unlocks the door. And you know, when we speak to the Father, when we communicate directly to him, he communicates to us in our heart and through his word. And so they were dedicated to prayer. Oswald Chambers said, prayer is the greater work. Of all the things we can do, prayer is the greater work. C.S. Lewis said this about prayer. Personal prayer involves petitions, asking for things as a part of confession and penitence. What God does is learned from who he is. He could do anything in an instant without our help or our prayers, but he allows us to cooperate with the execution of his will. Oh, that's cool. God could do it all on his own, but he allows us to cooperate with the execution of his will. And a final word on prayer from Martin Luther. Prayer is a strong wall and a fortress of the church. It is a godly Christian weapon. Prayer is a weapon. You know, we think of all the weapons that we see and that we have, but the strongest weapon we have is prayer. Verse 43, Luke goes on to say, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." You can imagine when they see tongues of fire and mighty wind blowing and people speaking in their own language. Yes, it would be pretty awesome. We say this awesome. The Bible says the same thing. It was awesome. They were in awe when they saw the signs and wonders. The new believers knew that the living Christ was among them when they saw these miracles, when they saw the things that were happening. And some say, you know, well, this stuff has ceased for today. It has slowed down a bit, and maybe it's because of us, not because of who God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when I go to other countries, I see a lot more signs and wonders because they are just seeking and learning who Jesus is. What is it about the power of the Holy Spirit? When they don't have rain for month after month and they pray and they get on their knees and it starts to pour rain, that's a miracle. That's a sign and a wonder. It was in biblical times. It is today. All kinds of things. One of the circumstances that I know about personally, when an angry witch doctor comes toward you and you reach out and pray in the name of Jesus and he falls to the ground and your missionary has 30 minutes to preach the gospel, that's a sign. That's a wonder. To all those who'd been listening to that witch doctor, they suddenly knew who they could trust and who they could believe in. It was the Word of God, the power of the Word of God. So we have signs and wonders today, and these signs and wonders really helped these new believers see who Jesus was. And Luke says, all who believed were together. They had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as many had need. Many times the Bible talks about being together. Together in the Word, together as they ate, together as they prayed, and they were selling their possessions. 3,000 new believers who came into town and didn't have anything, they hear this message and they have needs, and these needs need to be met, and the early church began meeting the needs of each other. Now, it doesn't mean they necessarily gave up everything they had and they just waited. But when people had needs, they sold what they could sell, they gave food, they gave things to each other, they cared for one another. Again, they were together. And I know that even during this time of quarantine, I've seen that happen in this church. We've had people with needs. We've had people that needed more than prayer. They needed tangible things. And our people have reached out and taken food and taken money and helped. That's what the body of Christ is all about. The Bible speaks so many times of the body of Christ that we are to be there selflessly, willingly, to help those, especially those new believers in the kingdom like we see here in Acts. I pray that we continue these works of grace. After we get beyond the epidemic or pandemic or whatever this is, and all the racial things that are going on, when God heals us and begins healing us, I pray we'll continue to love one another well, because there's always needs out there in the body of Christ. Finally, in verse 46 and 47, every day they continued to meet together again in the temple courts. They broke bread, they ate together, glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. With gladness and sincere hearts they met. I pray that when we come back into this church and we begin to fellowship together, that when we enter those back doors or the side doors and we come into the sanctuary, we will come in with sincere and glad hearts because we're in the presence of the Lord and we're able to fellowship again together. I pray we have that now before we get here. Practice. Practice for the next couple of weeks. Practice being sincere and glad. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, the Bible tells us. If you practice well enough, when we come in here, this is going to be like, well, it's going to be like Easter. We didn't get to have Easter here. We're going to celebrate on Resurrection Sunday Jesus Christ and how good he's been to us. And I'm sure that'll be a thrill when we can just not only see each other, but hug each other. The body of Christ. We sing that song. We are the body of Christ. And the Bible tells us in Romans, for there are many members of one body, but all don't have the same function. So we who are many, the one body of Christ, we serve each other as members of one another. And in Corinthians, for even as the body is one yet has many members, and all the members of the body are the one body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and we need to start acting like it. And then, of course, the final verse said, the Lord added to their number every day. Can you imagine what that would be like? We come into this place, and every time we're here, someone wants to know Jesus. Someone is filled with his spirit, and we're adding to the number, not to the number of the church, not to the numbers that we often count, but to the numbers of those who are going to stand before the throne as believers in Jesus Christ. And in this early church, daily, people were being added. You know what? There's a lot more people around the world today than there were then. And we have a lot more ways of reaching them. Jesus himself said, you will be able to reach people better than I did. And even a media like this, television and radio and being able to travel like we do, we can reach so many people. And when we go, anywhere we go, we need to take with us the most important thing in our lives, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what's transforming men and women, boys and girls, is the gospel. We have great programs. There's great things that we can do and say and be, but it's the transforming power of the Holy Spirit working through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this second chapter of Acts really tells us how we're to respond to this power of the Holy Spirit, what we're to do. And Peter shared this on the day of Pentecost, and he wasn't just addressing the moral issues of the day. He was addressing the heart, the spiritual issues. And I was talking about taking the gospel and sharing. I remember an older lady, she was in her 80s here at Central, went to visit her in her home, and she said, I try to share the gospel with someone every single day. She would tell me some stories. I'm sure to some people it was obnoxious, but she was following God. She'd be in the line at the grocery store and ask somebody, hey, how are you today? Do you know Jesus? Do you know who Jesus is? And she'd share the gospel story. And I don't know the results of that, but you know, I don't know the results of when somebody heard that and they went home and thought about that and maybe God touched them. This woman was faithful. She just did what she was supposed to do. God didn't say go out and save somebody every day. He said go out and share the gospel. I want to encourage you to share the gospel with the people you know, maybe with some people you don't know. Some of the hardest people to share the gospel with are your own family who don't know the Lord. I know that was difficult for me in my life. I could preach, I could sing, I could do a lot of things. But when I sat down and said, you know, do you know who Jesus is? Has he changed your heart? That's hard with family sometimes. Well, I know you may want to experience this new life today. Most of the people listening today, I'm going to assume that most of the people today have received Christ as their Savior. The power of the Holy Spirit is working in their life. But I can guarantee you there are folks that just kind of tuned into this broadcast and they don't know who Jesus is. They've heard this message of how the Holy Spirit came. And maybe you're yearning for that in your own life, in your own heart. Deep inside, you want that fulfilling. You want that abundant life that these 3,000 people received on the day of Pentecost and then every day afterwards. Well, it's the gospel. And you know what the word gospel means? It means good news. And everybody wants to hear good news, especially today. Good news. Jesus is here with us today. He wants to transform and change your life. His Holy Spirit wants to dwell inside you. When you accept Christ in your life, the Holy Spirit comes in your life, and suddenly you have that power, that dunamis, the Bible says. This is where we get the word dynamite. That's some power, dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about that today. I want to pray with you if you want to receive Christ. You know, you may not see tongues of fire or a mighty wind. You might. If you do, send me a note. I'd like to hear about it. But you may or may not. But I can tell you this. The Bible talks about the promises there. God promises if you receive his Son, if you believe and confess, he'll come into your heart. That's a promise, and the Holy Spirit will be there with you. Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Just like those people 2,000 years ago, just like the people who received Christ yesterday, just like the people around the world who are coming to know Christ today, you can know him today. So I'm going to close with a time of prayer and confession. Just as Peter told the Jews in Jerusalem, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Today, you can begin that process. You can repent. You can ask Christ into your own heart. Don't worry about the baptism right now. We'll take care of that later. Don't worry about some of the other things. Just know in your heart that you need Jesus. So I want you to pray with me these words as we close. Let's bow our heads. I want you to focus on, not on the things that are around you right now, but focus on your own heart and on God who's speaking to your heart. Let's pray together. Just say these words in your heart with me. Dear God, I need you this morning. I know that I haven't been all that you wanted me to be. I've sinned. I've fallen short of the perfection that you require. But even while I'm a sinner, I know that Jesus came and he stood in my place. He was perfect, and yet he took my sin upon himself. He died in my place so that I might live. So right now, Lord, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is truly the Son of God, and I ask him to come into my heart, to forgive me of all my sins, and I believe and I trust in him, and I desire to follow him for the rest of my life as the Holy Spirit guides and leads me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for helping me to walk with you day by day. And I ask all of these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Friend, if you prayed this prayer this morning, this is not just a trivial thing. Your life has changed. And you're going to start to see that and experience that in the coming days. Jesus heard your cry. He lives in your heart right now. The Holy Spirit is in you if you prayed that prayer with sincerity. And I'd love to talk to you about that personally. If you don't have a Bible, write me a note here at Central Church. We will get you a Bible because I want you in the Word. Especially as you start in the book of John and just hear the gospel story of Jesus and what he did. And you can go online on our webpage, centralpress.com/prayer, if you'd like prayer or if you'd like to speak to a pastor. I pray you would do that today. It's important. The power of the Holy Spirit is working today. He's changing lives, and I pray that he's changed yours. God bless you.